From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Social media sites like Instagram and YouTube run on software and information that is finely attuned to our tastes and preferences. It serves up content created to our hobbies and interests, whether that's cars or gardening or Japanese sword making during the Taranga Shogunate. There is something for everyone. And that also means there's an audience for almost anyone. And that has in turn led to the rise of vlogging. A portmanteau of video blog, vlogs are mini documentaries that show us an edited view into the life of the vlogger. People document the sublime, from the birth of a child or an amazing tropical vacation, to the mundane, like their commute or even their routine getting ready for work or school. Anyone can make a vlog, and anything can be in a vlog. And for adults with children, the kids are often in the picture, literally characters in the family drama. Now a new law in Illinois is taking aim at that very situation, ensuring that if parents are making money off online videos in which their children are characters, they have to set aside some of the proceeds of those videos for their young ones' futures. The law is the first of its kind in the U.S., and the idea for it came from a teenager in Normal, and she joins us now. Shreya Nalamathu, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we are also joined by the lawmaker who helped make Shreya's idea into legislation. State Senator Dave Kaler is a Democrat from Peoria. Senator Kaler, welcome to the 21st Show to you as well.
Well, thank you very much.
And I should say, listeners, a little later in the conversation or in the show, we'll be joined by a social media influencer herself who is based in Bloomington Normal. She's a 17-year-old. She'll tell us a little more about the world of vlogging and influencing. But until then, you can join our conversation by calling 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Have you consumed vlogs? Do you like to watch them? Do you watch some of these family shows where you see kids and adults together? Do you think adults should be including their children, and should they be compensating them for their work? Let us know what you think at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Trey, I want to begin with you. You sparked the conversation for this law. How did that come about?
Yeah, so this initially started off as an independent study program at my school. And so I was researching child influencers, and I realized that there is absolutely nothing in place to protect them, which kind of led to me reaching out to my state senator to see if we can make a change in that.
And talk a little more about the problem you were trying to solve with this.
I was seeing that a lot of these very young children were being featured on blogs that had millions and thousands of views, thousands of subscribers, and was generating compensation at just an unbelievable rate. But there's no guarantee that any of the money from the work that they're doing is being set aside for them. So I really wanted to create something that would address the fiscal aspect of child vlogging and give them some sort of protection.
How did you do with the independent study project?
I got an A on it, which is
good. Well, we'll talk about some of the influence that it might have had. So, Senator Kaler, I want to bring you into the conversation now. How did you react when you first heard from Shreya?
Well, the letter came into my office, and so my staff in Springfield read it over and brought it to me, and they said, "You know, you need to pay attention to this." I don't view those things on the internet. I'm of the generation where the internet is not my first source for entertainment or news. But the younger staff at the Senate Democrats said, yeah, this is kind of a big deal, and you need to do something about this. So we set in motion. Our staff started looking at whether other legislation had been tried. California had tried some things. State of Washington was in the process. None of them got it done. They seemed to stumble over some things, but I got to meet Shreya and her family. We put the bill together, and we went to committee, and she did a fantastic job in front of the committee. I think she just blew everybody away. She knows her subject.
Yeah, this is like Shrey, I don't know if you're familiar with the Schoolhouse Rock videos. It's probably before your time, but that was on Saturday morning TV when I was a kid, and this is really like that come to life. Senator Kaler, is it rare to hear from young people with ideas for new laws that actually make it this far in the process?
It's not commonplace, no. A lot of people write us letters and they say, here's an idea, and so we may pursue them or we may not. But this one was very timely. It seemed to hit at an issue that I was being told was a big deal. We had Shreya in committee testifying, and we had Chris McCarty, a young student from Washington State, who has been involved in their legislation on video testifying. It was a very proud moment to see two young people just command the subject of the day, and I came away with a feeling that we're in good hands. The next generation is well equipped to lead us into the future.
Shreya, what was that experience for you like testifying before a Senate committee in Springfield?
It was incredible. I was so glad to be able to share my research with the people in the Senate Labor Committee and explain to them what the problem was and just have the platform to kind of ask for a change. It was great being there, and it was an amazing experience.
So let's talk about the law itself. Senator Kaler, how does it actually work?
Well, we took the piece that pertains to child labor. There was some parts of it that we wanted to address that we had to drop out, but we fashioned this after the Child Actor Law. So back in the 30s, late 30s, Jackie Coogan was a child star. He went through the early years of his life, making lots of money for his family. When he turned to be an adult, he had nothing to show for it. So this law was set up to protect child actors, and it's pretty much commonplace. It's understood that if you have a child actor, that money has to be set aside in a trust fund. So we set the same thing up. If your child is in a certain number of videos, and there's some details in the law that we'll go into, but then you need to take and set aside a certain portion of that for the child in a trust fund. So I'll give you an example. If the child is in 50% of a video, then you need to set aside 25% of the money that you receive from that video. If the child is in 100% of the video, then you need to set aside 50% of the money in the trust fund. So it recognizes that the family, the parents, have a right to have some of the money, but it also protects the child's interests so that when they're 18, they have something to show for it.
Senator, how does this compare to other industries, right? I'm thinking there are a lot of children who help out around, the family farm in Illinois, or maybe they help restock the family convenience store. How does this compare?
There's a lot of examples of where children are performing work, and usually it's in the context of a family. We have child labor laws that protect children from being, in factory settings or otherwise. But since this related so much to the child acting, it was seen that that would be the appropriate, kind of benchmark to use. Since I've gotten into this subject, and Shreya has helped me kind of open my eyes to this world, we're talking about families that do this as a business. They're not making just thousands of dollars; they're making millions of dollars. And in some cases, there's things that are being videoed and sent out that a child may not particularly want out when they turn to be an adult. We tried to incorporate, and I think this is where the other two states kind of bogged down. There was a part of the law when we initially filed it that said if a child turns 18, becomes an adult, they can look back and they can remove any unwanted video that's out there on the internet. Now that's really more of a privacy issue. It's more of a consumer protection issue. It's actually technologically very tough to get your arms around. So we dropped that part out. I've talked with Kwame Raoul, the Attorney General. We're gonna look at this next aspect of the privacy and consumer protection in a different way, and we'll come back on it.
Trey, I understand your initial idea. It goes through the ringer as any idea in Springfield does. It comes out a little different than you had intended. What are some of your thoughts on the ways the law might be expanded or changed in the future?
Yeah, similar to what Senator Kaler was talking about, we did have that aspect of a child being able to remove their videos once they turned 18, but that got taken out. So in the future, when more and more states start to implement legislation like this, I hope to see more improvement on this bill and more stuff done towards that privacy aspect.
And Senator Kaler, what about minors themselves who are social media influencers, right? Maybe they have a parent that helps manage them. Is there more regulation on the way for that, as we are seeing an increasing number of young people garnering hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers online?
Yes. Well, I think this is just the beginning. And, you know, Illinois is the first step. We passed the law as it is. This is the start of a lot of activity in this area, because this is new, and legislation, let's face it, it always kind of catches up to where society is. So this is a reaction to something that Shreya brought to us, that we said, yeah, this is a problem we should deal with. I think that the evolution of this will be that other states will enact similar legislation. They may make improvements on it. If so, we'll look at that and we'll see how we can amend our law here. But I think that in all the areas that we can think of in terms of how social media is used and how it's monetized, I think this is just the beginning.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about a new law in Illinois that is going to require parents who include children in family online social media content to have to share revenue based on certain thresholds. There's some details we don't have to get into the weeds of today, but we're talking about this with Shreya Nalamathew, who is a teenager in Normal, Illinois, who brought this idea forward after studying the issue for an independent study project in school, and State Senator Dave Kaler, a Democrat from Peoria, who sponsored the legislation. And we have about 4 minutes left in our conversation, and I'm hoping we can go a little big picture on some of the ideas we've been talking about. Shreya, we often hear the idea that young people today are growing up online, right? Consuming a ton of online content, communicating with their friends there, also making content. I wonder what your experience has been of that.
Yeah, I absolutely, young people, people my age are always on Snapchat and TikTok. You know, we're posting on our private stories and making silly YouTube videos to share with our friends. So social media has definitely started to become like an integral part of my generation's life, and is probably going to stay that way for future generations, which is why I was really happy to see legislation surrounding this issue, because it's only going to get more and more common as we move forward.
Do you feel like you've seen some negative consequences of this, you know, being online all the time among your friends and classmates?
There's definitely that digital footprint aspect. I mean, my parents have always talked to me about the permanence of the internet, and, you know, a consequence of being chronically online is that any thought that you have, if it's something that you don't want future employers and stuff to see, but you've tweeted it when you were back in high school, well, it's still on there. You know, the permanence of the internet is something that I feel like a lot of people my age haven't really grasped.
Let me ask you about your future, Shreya. This is a pretty remarkable start for getting involved in politics. Do you think that more young people, do you want to see more of your peers getting involved? Do you find that they are as excited about this stuff as you are?
Yeah, I definitely want to see more young people getting involved. I feel like we can often think that government is really far removed and that we can't really affect change just because we're not out of high school yet, but I hope to see more people, taking a chance and bringing these issues to legislators, because there is real change that can be made.
Are you looking toward a future in government service or politics?
I don't know. Yeah, politics, like this field, really interests me, but I'm not super set on a field yet. So
yeah,
we'll see.
You have plenty of time. You have plenty of time. Senator Kaler, what about you? This is said to be the first of its kind law in the U.S. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that, thanks to Shreya and bringing this forward, that we were just at the right time at the right place. It's inevitable that legislation has to protect people's interests, especially children's interests. Legislation is always used as a reaction to something that has you know, taking place as a transformation in society. So this was kind of the right thing at the right moment to do this. It's not going to stop. As I said, this is kind of the beginning of looking at how the internet affects our lives in all aspects. And we wanted to, you know, there's nothing wrong with using the internet and getting our entertainment and our education and whatever, but there's also some dangerous aspects of it as well. So we have to, you know, we have to deal with it accordingly. But I'm just very excited that Shreya brought this to me and that we were able to team up. And I think we made a good team, didn't we, Shreya?
Yes, I think we did.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. State Senator Dave Kaler represents the 46th District, includes Peoria, East Peoria, West Peoria, Pekin, and other surrounding areas. Shreya Nalamathu helped come up with the concept for this law. Senator Kaler, Shreya, thank you both so much for being with us on the 21st show today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
As ever, we'd love to hear what you think about what we've been talking about, whether it's today's show or in the recent past or even in the distant past. Let us know. Talk@21stshow.org is our email address. Talk@21stshow.org. Coming up, we're going to be talking with a content creator herself, 17-year-old from Bloomington Normal. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are continuing with our topic of social media influencers, especially young influencers. You heard reference earlier in our conversation to the social media site TikTok. Maybe you've even watched or made videos there yourself. I know I have lost many hours down the TikTok hole. It's the home of everything from viral dances to fashion advice to history and social justice explainers. We're joined now by a 17-year-old TikToker from Bloomington, Illinois. She shares her daily life as a homeschooled teenager, doing makeup tutorials, get ready with me videos, and has grown a large audience by creating content for, again, TikTok, as well as other apps like Instagram and YouTube. And I want to pause there because I said a large audience, but let's put that in context. One of her recent videos from early August has 3.9 million views. I checked the Nielsen ratings, and if this video had been a primetime network TV show, it would have been the fourth most watched show in a recent week, somewhere between America's Got Talent and Celebrity Family Feud. The creator in question is Sophia Castablanco, and she joins us now in studio. Sophia, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So let's maybe for some of our audience members who we heard the state senator earlier say he doesn't really consume this kind of content, what exactly does an influencer do?
Yeah, so an influencer is basically someone who has grown a large audience on some social media platform who somehow influences people in some way or inspires them to do something. A lot of times they'll influence somebody to buy a product. But yeah, it's just somebody who has like a large audience.
How old were you when you first decided this was something you wanted to do?
I started when I was 12 years old. I started my first YouTube channel, and it was about reborn roleplay. But that quickly transitioned into my lifestyle channel.
Your lifestyle channel. I mean, is this something you want to do to make a living? Do you think of this as a career possibility?
Yeah, for sure. I'm currently a junior in high school, and I plan to make this my full-time career after high school.
How do you, like, there's not a lot of path for that necessarily, right? I can't imagine the guidance counselors at high school necessarily encourage that. So how do you begin to think about charting that as, like, where do you look to for a sort of a role model or advice on how to make this work?
Yeah. So I switched to homeschool, actually. So there's not really like a guidance counselor for me. But I am part of this media group called the Nioli Media Group. And they have kind of helped me to grow my audience to this large following. And so I always kind of look to them for kind of help and guidance to make my career a reality. And they've always been there if I have any questions, and they've kind of guided my path for me.
Now, you mentioned you're homeschooled. Is that something you've done because of this, or is it something you were considering otherwise?
Yeah, so I went to a private school until eighth grade, and then when it came time for high school, I decided that I wanted to switch to homeschool so that I could focus and do my content more often and have more time for it.
Wow. All right. Let's. I think maybe it'd be helpful if we actually listen to some of your content showcasing what Sophia posts on her social media platforms. We got a montage here. Let's take a listen to that.
Today I'm doing my first ever Instagram campaign. I know that it's basically the end of summer, but today I'm going to be showing you guys my everyday summer makeup routine, which is this look. So today I'm wearing this pink activewear dress that is from Aritzia. I actually just got this, and I feel like it's so cute and comfortable.
Okay, a short sort of clip there. Well, let's maybe give some context for our audience. What were you doing in those clips? And maybe you can just talk about how you create that content.
Yeah, so I create a lot of get ready with me's. I do like outfit of the days where I'll show my audience kind of the outfit. I'll do like day in the life videos where I take them along with me on my day. And I honestly just kind of show different parts about my life, whether that be like come to Target with me or kind of showing them like my school day. But yeah, it's kind of just putting my life on the internet and kind of sharing what I love to do with them.
You know, I think... do you consume this kind of content, like get ready with me, study with me, go to Target with me, that sort of thing?
Sure. Yeah. I spend a lot of time on TikTok because I have to kind of look at other people's content, see what's trending, and kind of see how I'm able to make that my own in some way. And so for sure, yeah, I consume a lot of that content myself.
Yeah. I think maybe people who are a little older and are not used to this, right? They're watching like NCIS on TV or something, like scripted drama with actors and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't see the appeal. What is the appeal of watching someone going shopping?
You know, I feel like it depends on what type of influencer you're following. But for me, I think that there's a lot of influencers that kind of just give you like comfort in some way, just like how you would watch maybe a show on Netflix and it's just like your comfort show. I think that a lot of people have a certain influencer that's kind of like their comfort influencer, or also somebody that they're able to relate to in some way. It kind of feels like you have a friend on a screen that you get to just like be there with every day. So I think that a lot of people find comfort and someone to relate to on TikTok and stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting. I can imagine definitely people feel there's a psychological term for that. I can't think of it right now, where you feel this deep connection with somebody, often a celebrity.
Sure.
What is that like from your perspective, though? Do you feel that back with the audience, or is it ever weird for you? I wonder, because it's like you're looking at a camera most of the time. They're looking at you. You're looking at a camera.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something to adjust to if you're new to like filming videos and stuff. But I've done it for 5 years, so I'm kind of just used to filming myself and talking to a camera for hours. But I think that you kind of get past the fact that you're talking to a camera, and you just kind of imagine that, you know, you're talking to your audience when you kind of face that camera. And I don't think it's weird at all, unless it gets to a weird point with some fans that'll kind of send you like weird messages or something. But most of the time, I think it's really great to have that connection with so many people across the world.
Yeah. All right. Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking with Sophia Castablanco, who is a teen content creator and influencer from Bloomington Normal. If you want to join our conversation, if you have a question or comment today, the number to do so is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So you mentioned working with a company. What was that like? How did you get connected with them? What do they do to help you sort of build your career?
Yeah, so I started, like I said, 5 years ago with my Reborn Roleplay channel. And then in 2022, I reached 100K subscribers, and I decided that I wanted to kind of transition from that Reborn Roleplay channel, because I was kind of growing out of it, to start a lifestyle YouTube channel. So I started it in May of last year, and I quickly realized that it's pretty difficult to grow a channel from scratch in a completely different niche. So I found this agency called the Nioli Media Group because I had followed the founder of it. Her name is Paulina, and I had followed her for a while. So I decided to join, and they kind of took my case, and they asked me about kind of what my goal for the future was. And I told them that I wanted to do this full time. So from there, they kind of told me how I would be able to do that. So I started my TikTok account for the first time, and they showed me kind of what I need to post on that, how often I need to post. And I started that in April of this year, and 4 months later, I was able to grow it to 100K followers with them.
4 months from zero to, or a small number to 100,000. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Do you have to like sort of prove yourself? Like, can I show up at this company and ask for them to take me on? Or did it help that you already had, you know, 100,000 people on this other project you'd worked on earlier?
I think that it kind of depends on who they select. I think that they're open to both people that are new to kind of this world and people that already have experience. It just kind of depends like what your goals are and if they feel like your goals kind of align with what they are able to teach you.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that influencers are kind of known for are doing these things called brand collaborations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where companies, whether they're selling makeup or clothing, or if somebody's like, I actually follow a few outdoor enthusiasts, and so they get sent like tents and sleeping bags and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How do these brand collaborations work when they reach out to you and they're asking you to create specific videos for your audience?
Yeah, so I actually have a manager, so she kind of takes care of that whole side of influencing for me. So she handles all of my emails, all of my brand collaborations. But basically how it works is a brand will find your content, and if they want to work with you, then they'll send you an email. And from there, you'll send them your media kit, which is basically like a resume for influencers. And if you guys align, then you can work out a paid collaboration or just a gifted collaboration. But I don't really handle that side of this. My manager does.
But it comes to you, and then do you have to figure out the content, or do they give you like suggested scripts?
They will typically give you a video brief, whether that's if they want like a TikTok video or if they want like an Instagram post, and they'll give you a brief for kind of what they're wanting or like what the campaign is for. And then from there, most of the time, they'll give you the creative freedom to be able to come up with the script on your own and kind of adjust it to your own liking and stuff.
Yeah, interesting. So, you know, there are a lot of influencers in today's world, and they range from young people. You said you started when you were 12. You're now, I think you said 17.
Mm-hmm.
There are adults who do this as well. And some of them, I guess, are your peers or your competition. I wonder, you know, from your perspective, how is it being a young influencer in this field that has people of all different ages competing in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there is influencers of all type of age groups. There's obviously the children influencers you guys were just talking about. And then there's like the teen influencers that I'm in. And then there's, of course, the adult ones. But I feel like in this kind of career path, there's not really competition because there's kind of just room for everybody. And there's always going to be an audience for whatever niche you're in or whatever content you kind of post. So I never feel like I'm competing with anyone in any way because there's always going to be people that want to watch your content.
Do you have peers who are social media influencers or like friends? I mean, I can imagine this might be a somewhat isolating field to do, especially as you gain, you know, a mega following.
Yeah, it's not kind of like another job, like a different job where you have like your own boss or you have like your peers or anything. I have some like online friends that I'll talk to that are also influencers that we're kind of able to talk about different video ideas. Sometimes we'll do like a collaboration on YouTube or something. So I do have a few close friends that are also influencers. But aside from that, it is kind of something that you're always working on your own because you're kind of just doing it in your home and there's no like boss telling you what to do or anything.
Yeah. You know, we see a lot of influencers in bigger cities, I think, right? The cities sometimes becomes a character in what they do. You're in Bloomington Normal. I wonder how that has been. It's not the first place people think of when they think of social media influencers, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely been a little bit more difficult than I feel like it typically is for influencers. Me and my mom actually travel a lot. Sometimes we'll go to Los Angeles together or New York if I want to film like a specific type of video where I need kind of a different background for and everything. I live in a super small town. There's not a lot of things to film or anything. So whenever I'm kind of getting bored of my content, then we'll go on a little trip together.
Yeah. Can't do the Casey Neistat like skateboarding through Manhattan or anything like that. ask your kids about it if you don't know what I'm talking about. For people who are listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned you're traveling with your mom. How are your parents feel about you pursuing this line of work from the homeschooling through the, you know, having a manager at age 17?
Yeah, they've always been super supportive. They've always been there if I have any questions for anything. My dad helps me a lot with my finances and kind of how I should handle that at my age. But they're always there if I need any help with anything. They're always there to support me. And obviously, if I want to travel somewhere, then they're always up for it to go with me.
Yeah. So earlier, I think you were listening to when we were talking with a state senator and a young person also from Bloomington Normal about a new law in Illinois. And that one requires parents to share revenue with kids if they include them in a lot of videos. That's a different thing. But I do wonder what you think about young people being compensated appropriately for social media work. I mean, do you think that's important? Do people really understand the amount of effort that goes into making what can be, you know, a 30-second video that they swipe through on their phone?
Yeah, I think it's very important that that law was just made, and I'm very happy that they made it because you see so many different family channels that are just exploiting their kids and forcing them to make these videos with no compensation. So I'm really glad that they finally made that to protect children.
Interesting. What advice would you have if there are other young people out there who might be listening or their families, if they want to get started as content creators?
Yeah, for sure. I think that the main thing is just to, I feel like a lot of people are scared about starting it and just failing right away. And for me, it took me 2 years to get just 100 subscribers on my first YouTube channel. And then it kind of blew up from there. So definitely to just like stay consistent with it. And it doesn't matter what your friends think about it. And it doesn't matter if you don't have anybody watch your videos in the first year or two. Because you never know when it's just going to take off and you can actually make this into something big.
You know, I asked Shreya in our earlier conversation what she thought about people of your generation kind of growing up online in a way that people I didn't when I was your age. I wonder what your experience has been of that, right? There can be negative consequences for all of this feeling like you constantly have to perform on social media, maybe for people who don't want to make a career as influencers.
Right, yeah. For me personally, I love it just because this is kind of like what I wanted to do. And it's definitely like my passion is content creating. But I could see how some people may not like that if it's something that they're forced to do, like with their family or something. But I haven't minded it at all. I love it. And I feel like if there's any a point where I don't like doing this anymore, then my parents are completely supportive of it. And I mean, I could always choose something different. But I definitely want this to be my future.
Sophia Castablanco is a teen content creator and influencer. You can find her on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. We'll have a link to some of that on our website, 21stshow.org. Sophia, thank you so much for being with us today. Good luck as you continue building your audience.
Thank you.
And coming up, we are going to be taking a short break. Before we do, I want to mention we do love hearing what you think about what we have been talking about on the 21st show. You can leave us a voicemail at 217-300-2121. Again, the number is 217-300-2121. You can also visit our website, 21stshow.org. We've got our email address there, our social media, podcast links, or look us up on Spotify or Apple. Just search for The 21st Show. Again, it's all on our website, 21stshow.org. Coming up after a short break, we're going to be talking about the Big Ten, which hasn't really been 10 schools since the early 1990s, but this year, Washington and Oregon announced that they would be joining up. It adds to two Los Angeles-based teams that announced their addition to the Big Ten last year. It's going to be the Big 18, although we'll still call it the Big Ten, I guess. We're going to talk about this endless expansion and what it's going to mean for student athletes. That is coming up after a short break here on the 21st Show. Please stay with us.